Time again for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me this week as I sit in for Alan while he's on his holes.
Good afternoon, Toby. Always a pleasure to speak to you.
Matt, we're going to start this week with the news about the launch of the RNIB and PAC Inclusive Opportunities and Universal Design Global Charter, which is helping to encourage global packaging companies and brands to commit to creating accessible information and providing greater job opportunities within their sector for blind and partially sighted people, which of course is great news around accessible packaging and also job opportunities too.
Yes, I mean, this is a massive underlying win, actually, which might prove to be a slow burn, but a lot of goodness will come from this. So listeners will know, you know, been working on accessible design, and we've had a relationship with Kellogg's over the last sort of 18 months, first of all on one or two brands in the UK, and then extending Navilens technology and sort of Braille on packaging to all their cereal brands across Europe, and that's now happening. That's a big win in itself, but clearly Kellogg's are only one organisation, however big they are, and we need to try and spread this work across. So we've been working with Kellogg's, Procter & Gamble, and then PAC, and PAC are the sort of big global overarching sort of trade body for the global packaging industry. And with those three, we've been working on and have now delivered a charter, which really sets out how packaging companies, FMCG companies, retailers, you know, whomever is using, developing packaging. It's a charter to define how to be inclusive in your design of packaging. And as you say, to give opportunities potentially to blind and partially sighted people and people with other disability, I'm sure, to work in the industry to provide the insight that will then drive better packaging. We've been, you know, prime movers in this, Mark Powell and Gareth Davis, who I think we've name checked many times before on this topic, but they've been involved writing the first draft and then making sure through an iterative process that those bodies I've mentioned, you know, particularly including Global Pack, have sort of pinned this down, agreed it, and are now, you know, ready to go with it. So, you know, it's sitting there waiting to be used. We're trying to get lots of brands now to sign up. It's not legally binding. We can't force things. But again, you know, as we emerge from COVID and everybody, including business, you know, are only more reminded of their civic sort of responsibilities, then it's great that this charter exists. It's there as an easy reference work. It's there as a prompt. It's there as a bit of a conscience, honestly. And I think we'll see more companies now realising this is the way to go, particularly with sort of heavyweights of Kellogg's and Procter & Gamble sort of putting their sort of name behind it as well.
And I think we also really sort of, I suppose, let people know a little bit more about what's been happening regarding Ukraine and also the cost of living crisis at the moment, because there's so many things that are having an impact on everybody's life at the moment.
Yeah, the cost of living crisis is clearly with us and will be with us for potentially a couple of years, which sounds really quite serious and quite difficult. You know, latest data, inflation, you know, on or around 9% again for the last month. As an organisation, we've been responding by really trying to galvanise ourselves internally to really sort of push our services and our advice and our support for our beneficiaries. And again, I'd encourage all the listeners to engage with us through the website, through social media, to really see what we've got, the advice we're giving to help when it comes to help with energy bills, you know, understanding grants that exist, help with welfare. So there's a lot of opportunities there for people to engage with content and support that we can provide. Equally, we're on our own and with other charities and other groups working to get organised to lobby government and others on measures that could be taken to try and alleviate some of the challenges of this. And we can't, you know, on the one hand, make it go away. That's not in our gift. But what we can do is highlight the challenges, you know, where we know blind and partially sighted people are disproportionately disadvantaged against the general public when, you know, food prices go up, energy prices go up, you know, technology becomes more inaccessible or expensive because the cost of electricity is higher, you know, and therefore the cost of keeping computers and devices running is higher. So we're working hard on our own and with others. I've been to a couple of meetings with different charity groups recently to sort of try and coordinate activity. And we will, you know, carry on pushing and supporting with a real focus. And this is an item on our board agenda for next week. Ukraine is again a different challenge, you know, one beyond our shores, and therefore, you know, not a UK issue. But I think for all of us, we have a vested interest in supporting Ukraine. It's, you know, probably the biggest crisis in the world post the Second World War. And we are playing our part as much as we can. And I've talked again on this channel about it, but we're continuing to provide support of equipment through Blind and Partially Sighted societies in neighbouring countries, particularly Poland and Romania. We provided some Braille equipment for a school in Poland who is helping blind Ukrainian children who come across the border. We've managed to get some equipment into Ukraine, and we're talking to a lot of the societies in Ukraine, and they tend to be quite local sort of societies in Ukraine, as opposed to sort of one national society, about support we can give. And the big thing we're working on at the moment is to try and help set up a library in Ukraine, as you know, audio library of books, in essence, because the Russians have pulled the plug on the Soviet era infrastructure, which largely ran the sort of library services for blind and partially sighted people in the Ukraine. And we're seeing what we can do to bring our technology and expertise to bear. And I think we've got a solution that we're going to talk to some of our Ukrainian partners about next Monday. So I hope when we're talking in a few weeks' time, Toby, I can be very positive and confirm that we've managed to set up a library service for, or been integral in helping set up a library service for the Ukrainians.
Well, that'd be interesting. That'd be really good to hear about that. And we're going to finish with a very positive transport story now, and one which the RNIB was involved with too, with Tyne and Wear Metro being the first UK rail network to have tactile paving on every platform, which is fantastic news for blind and partially sighted travellers.
Yes, it is in a week where we're all stuck at home because of the rail strike. You know, a good news transport story. So people will know we've been working with Network Rail and Department of Transport on pulling forward the programme to roll out tactile pavements on the station platforms for all, I think it's 3,000, give or take, stations in the UK. The original plan was to do it by 2028-29, which was, you know, about 8 years ago, 8 years away from when we started this. We've got some agreement to pull it forward to 2024-25, albeit I'm sure there are cost of living pressures on government budgets, which, you know, we will have to try and keep at arm's length. But, you know, we are having wins locally. We had a win we talked about in Northern Ireland probably a couple of months ago, where we got the whole of the Northern Ireland network and now have tactile pavements. And as you say, the really good news is we've got the Tyne and Wear, that's up in Newcastle, really, Tyne and Wear Metro services, which is 60 stations, all with tactile paving, with the remaining 12 who didn't have it, you know, now done. And as you say, great congratulations to our regional campaigns team up in the North East. But also, I think a really positive story here, Toby, about the RNIB, you know, working very collaboratively with local societies. So we worked alongside Newcastle Vision Support, Sunderland Royal Society for the Blind, Vision and Hearing Support, Gateshead, and North East Action on Transport and with Guide Dogs. So working partnerially with some of the local societies, you know, we could sort of knit together a very powerful sort of coalition and get those last 12 stations done. So all 60 now are installed. I think it's a great achievement, and it's great if you're up in Newcastle jumping on the metro, which I've done myself a few times, that you know you're going to be safe because every station has this functionality. So a really good win, and really pleased, and a big well done to our team in the Northeast for, you know, really helping drive this through.
Well, that is fantastic news. And if you have any questions at all relating to or around sight loss, you can always visit the RNIB website. That's rnib.org.uk, where you'll find a great wealth of information and advice. You can also call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can use your Amazon smart device and ask dear old lady A to call the RNIB too. Well, thank you very much indeed, Matt, for chatting with me this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Toby. My pleasure as ever.